Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, the most apropos time in the history of this podcast for that freaking title. The Phillies won a playoff series, Jack. Like, honestly, those are words that I wasn't 100% sure I would ever get to say on this podcast, dude. Over the last 2 days doing a show with you on WIPA, like, I have thought so much about all the crap we've had to talk about, all the depressing Phillies teams, all the depressing, devastating, gut punch, heartbreaking moments that we've had, all the crappy players like Odubel and Familia just this year alone, like the Velasquezes, the Francos, like all the freaking crap we've been through, and how Jack, like tonight, with like the last two nights, have them do what they did last night and tonight to just go out and like handle business like a professional baseball team. Like, I just honestly, I'm like kind of speechless, man. I'm emotional. I'm so freaking happy, Jack Fritz. How you doing, pal?
I think I'm so happy that I can't formulate a sentence. Like, I legitimately think my brain was short-circuiting in like the eighth and ninth inning because I was so freaking nervous. Like, I gave myself a headache again. This was just a wild card round series. Now,
I know, dude. The most intense thing I've experienced, dude, in years, man.
And playoff baseball. There is nothing more intense in my entire life than playoff baseball, and I can't. Dude, let me just start this off by saying I am so godforsaken proud of this baseball team. I am so damn proud of them. I am so proud of what they just showed. That's a baseball win. That's a baseball team. That's a different team. That's winners. That is freaking winners. And for years, Nola this, Nola that. Mm-hmm. They're never going to come through. They're going to choke. That's what they do. They always will let you down. And they didn't let us down. Even though I've seen them lose that game 4 million times. They lose that game every single freaking time. And in the biggest moment in 11 years, the biggest moment for this freaking baseball team, Aaron Nola shoved. All right. Aaron Nola shoved. Bryce Harper went yaya. He went yaya in a deciding game two. You had Jose Alvarado coming in a big spot and get out of it and come back and get another out. You had Sir Anthony Dominguez, who no one had confidence in, throwing 1-0 sliders to Nolan Arenado and then said, see ya. You had Zach Eflin, who has been dealing with knee troubles and never thought he would get back this season, who just closed it out. And you had Edmundo Sosa, who the Cardinals gave up on, making the same play that Chooch made to send his team to the World Series in 08 in the same exact spot. What a baseball game. What an exhilarating moment for us, this fan base, everyone involved. I'm so happy. And one final thing before I throw it back to you, buddy, is that freaking Yachty, Pujols, Wainwright, Michael K, and A-Rod, see ya. See ya. See ya. I don't want to hear it anymore. Take your baseball heaven and shove it. I don't want to hear about it anymore because the Phils just came in and took it down. I cannot believe it. I cannot believe what we just saw.
Yeah.
Oh, my God,
yeah.
Buddy. What
Pujols,
a night.
Yadier, Wainwright, leave with all the fans who left in the top of the ninth inning last night. Because turns out they had the right idea because it was over from that moment in the ninth. It was over. And let me add one more to your and this and that. How about and defensive superstar Alec Bohm? Who was the best defensive third baseman in a playoff series with Nolan Arenado in it? Alec Bohm? Jack, like, is that something that, like, in a series with Nolan Arenado and Alec Bohm was by far the superior defensive third baseman. Got the big hit with the double. Like, again, man, like, this team, like, they were the better team. They were the team that came into this series and just did what they had to do to win. And to your point, Nola, man, like, Jack, again, like, we joked about it going in, but we saw playoff Nola. Like, I tweeted at you. When have I ever tweeted, hey, Jack, Fritz, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't do that stuff.
I thought it was a fake account.
I was compelled to. Because we watched playoff Nola go out and dominate in a clinching game, Jack. Like, that was like it's almost like the podcast fulfilled. Like, that was like the thing we wanted to see. And obviously we want so much more. But it feels like it, again, it almost felt like it became like a joke or a urban legend or whatever. Like, playoff Nola wasn't a thing. And like tonight, like, our thing for the entirety of our podcast, like, was real before our eyes, Jack. Like, we saw playoff Nola tonight, and he was magical.
He was magical, but it's not even just that, dude. Like, they should have won that game 7-0.
Oh, totally.
Like,
they
dominated, and you and I and everyone listening to this podcast have seen them. Like every time they wouldn't score, automatically the other team is scoring next inning. There was like three times tonight where Nola just went out and was like, I got it. Don't worry about it. 13 innings pitched this week, James, in a clinching game on Monday, in a game two on the road in St. Louis where that crowd was they were on fire. No earned runs. Like, I mean, I don't want to, you know, evoke 08 Hamels. But this is what we're seeing right now. And from our freaking guy, man, playoff Nola, I had given up on the idea of that ever happening, especially in a big spot. But, dude, I could not be happier to be wrong. I could not be happy to be wrong. And, like, just think about how good he's going to be now that this has been lifted off his shoulders, this pressure, this weight, all of that. Like, all, and this is what we were saying heading into the series, James, was that you should, first off, should not have let the Phils in. We said that last
very
week.
Clearly. I mean,
but
you know what? Real quick, we're not one to do it. And, you know, we're not like, throw credit around, especially to each other or to ourselves. But, you know, credit where due. The moment they clinch, Jack Fritz was like, they're winning the first series. Like, I don't even know who they're playing yet, and they're winning. Like, I feel so incredibly confident about it. Like, not your style to be, like, over-the-top confident. Well done, buddy.
Well, I mean,
you were the first on that one.
Well, frankly,
Then everyone was like, oh, yeah, they're definitely winning. It's like, oh, well, they're winning in two. No problem. You know,
it happens every year. Like, every year, a team sneaks in the sixth seed and then goes on a run. Or not, obviously, it's the first time it's been a sixth seed, but a last seed makes it in, they go on a run. And, like, we talked about it so much heading into this series of, like, you know, if they get in, like, just making the playoffs was an accomplishment for this team. Just getting in and making the playoffs, like, that's why they were playing so tight for the last 2 weeks. Because they had that pressure of, you're going to collapse again, you're going to collapse again, you're going to collapse again. And now they can just go play baseball, James. Like, what was that team I was watching today? They didn't crumble. They played good defense. I mean, Rob Thompson he made some decisions tonight that's like, listen, it's a big game. Every decision is going to be scrutinized. I cannot believe Castellanos was out there in the field.
Dude, oh my God, I'm so happy. So I was watching the game with my buddy Tommy, and shout out to our buddy Brandon Lee Gowton, who unexpectedly came. I went to see my buddy Tommy, and Brandon just showed up, and it was amazing. We had a great time. But I'm literally yelling at both of them. I'm like, why is Castellanos in the game right now? Like, what? Is Vierling hurt? Like what? I was like apoplectic. I was like sure that we were going to lose the game somehow because of like a liner to right that he can't get to or something.
Yeah, and yeah, it was, and believe me, I mean, that ball that Yachty hit, and by the way, the fact that they survived Yachty somehow getting a base hit in this year of 2022 is absurd. But it was just, it was all night long, and putting Alvarado back out there after getting a big out, huge moment. Trusting Sir Anthony, even though he has struggled mightily, that's going to give him a huge confidence boost. He went against Goldie and Arenado and struck them both out. Like,
well, and trusting him to let him go after those guys after, you know, at first it looked like he might get himself in a little trouble, and then he settled in and got two massive outs.
And it was like I didn't know the baseball team I was watching. Like, Bohm making the plays that he made. There were some things that, of course, they should have, like, the one move that people are going to yell about a lot, if had they lost that game, was Segura bunting. And in that moment, you know, you have two lefties on deck. You have a lefty on the mound. Segura should have shown you enough yesterday with what he did early in the game and what he did late in the game that you can trust him to get the runner over if he gets two strikes on him.
I agree.
So I would have trusted Segura more there. You know, especially with two lefties coming up and whatever. Although at the same time, like, Stott's your best contact guy. So, you know, him striking out there is more surprising than anything. But it all worked out, James. And, like, I've never been more nervous at a – like, I know the Super Bowl happened. I get it. I think because I was working, like, I didn't have the total nerves because I was, like, focused on three different things. Like, that was the most intense I have felt during a sporting event, like, forever. And I legitimately felt like I was going to throw up. I gave myself a headache. But they got the job done. The Phils are going to play the Braves, dude. We're having a Braves-Cowboys week. Like, oh, my God, what is happening? What is happening? And we're going to get a home freaking playoff game at Citizens Bank Park. I can't wait, dude. And according to the website, it's already sold out. So we don't have to worry about the whole, oh, well, are they even going to get 45,000 plus for the playoff game? Yeah, because it's already sold out, because this city, when they get behind the baseball team, they show up. And I can't, dude, like, the games in Atlanta can happen, whatever. Get me to Friday night. This is going to be the longest week of my life. I don't care. It's going to be the longest week of my life. We got two playoff games in Atlanta and then a home playoff game on Friday. Oh, kill me. I'm going to be so happy.
Dude, I'm so ready for it. Like, games at Citizens Bank Park was like one of the immediate things that I'm sure every Phillies fan thought about, because it's like almost doesn't feel real to not have a playoff game, because, you know, if it wasn't these stupid one game series they've done in years, like, we're not used to this three games all in one place thing. Like, if you make the playoffs, you get a game, right? Like, you get a home game. You know, it is special that we are going to get games back in that ballpark. And I feel like the whole thing, to your point, like, the intensity of it, you're at, like, for me, it's definitely the most intense two sporting events, the back-to-back days of the Phillies since the Super Bowl. For me, it's the most I've cared about a sporting event since then. And in a lot of ways, it is more intense in the sense that obviously it's not as important a game comparatively, but playoff baseball is just more intense. Like, it just is. It is just more intense, especially the jump from regular season of baseball to playoff baseball. You know, it's just like, it's like going from like JV to varsity, or going from like the minors to the majors, whatever you want to say. It's like a completely different game, and every decision, every moment, every pitch matters.
Dude, every
there's
pitch
nothing
runner.
Better. There's nothing better, dude.
Well, yes, I agree, but also, like, there's also nothing worse. Again, like,
oh, obviously, yeah, it's like, way more excruciating.
Every single base runner, I was like,
well, like Bryce freaking Harper, like, dude, and I think he actually was safe. The replay really did look like he was safe. Agree, he deserved to be out. I don't care if he was safe. He deserved to be out. Like, dude, you've done that way too many times in that spot. What the hell are you thinking? Like, what are you thinking? You're like Mr. Baseball. Like, that was infuriating, but. But that homer was massive, dude.
Oh.
And they needed that. I said to you on the radio when we were on today, I'm like, I think Nola's going to be good tonight, but if they could, like, score some runs for him, and obviously they didn't score many early, but, like, get him a lead, let him out in front, let him have a little bit of a cushion to work with,
And it being Bryce in that moment, like, you know, our first Bryce, like, real, you know, with the walk, but like our first Bryce playoff moment in a Phillies uniform, and it was a freaking moonshot, magical, like, beautiful home run. And again, you know, not to go back to what we were doing before, but if I am going to, like, be doling out credit, I will say I was literally right before the pitch saying to my buddy Tommy and BLG, you know, Bryce has got to adjust his approach. He just doesn't have the power because of the hand thing. Like, worry about singles, worry about doubles, and then boom. So, you know, I don't know if that's credit or not, but I definitely feel like it played a role, you know?
Well, here's what I'll say is that, first off, you know, Bryce is our guy. And I needed him to have a good a playoff moment. Totally. Like, totally. I love the daycare. I love the daycare guys. I love Schwarbs. You know, what I love the guys that have been here. But, like, Bryce is the guy you signed. And Bryce is the guy that is here to help this team win a World Series. And for the first time in his career, he's out of the first round of the playoffs. And he's in the
divisional
round.
I knew that,
round.
But I forgot about it in the moment. Like, I've known that before, but I didn't think about it. That's
well, it's not
so
the first
wild,
time he's been
John.
In the divisional round, but
right.
It's the first playoff
I know, but still, like, it's crazy to think it's the first time he's won a round in the playoffs, to put it that way, is wild.
Well, and especially because he's, you know, he's been the face of baseball since he was 16, you know, and hey, took LeBron a long time to figure out how to do it. And, you know, good for him, man. Like, he's here in a deciding game two on the road when the crowd is going, you know, nuts. And, you know, I thought Nicklaus was, I don't know, man. They should have killed Nicklaus, but whatever. You know, in that moment, him having that homer, it's like, bang, there's our guy. And he torched it, man. Like, it was a bomb.
It's
and
the best ball he's hit since he's been back. It was, like, or at least the most, like, Bryce, like, no doubt about it. He's hit the opposite field stuff. That was, like, the first no doubt about it tank shot that he's hit since he's been back.
Yeah. And again, to do it at that moment, you know, and again, part of being a leader and part of being the superstar on the team is calming everyone else's nerves, you know, and being... you know,
the guy they look to, right? It's like, I'm looking to you to calm me down because you're the vet. You're the guy who should know about this, who's been here before.
Yep. And, you know, in their deciding game on Monday, Schwarber did it. And in a deciding game, too, it was Nola and it was Harper. And you kind of just let everyone else play. And everyone else did, dude. Like, I can't believe we had a Bohm game. You know, honestly, a Bohm series. Like, Bohm was really good all series long, defensively.
I mean, arguably the best player, like, best non-pitcher on the team this series.
Yeah, best position player.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, you know?
For sure. And, you know, but him hitting that home run in that spot, it's like, okay, now we go.
The double. Oh, you're talking about Bryce. I thought you went to
Bohm. Yeah, Bryce.
Because that was a big double, too. That was a big double in that spot. And, again, like, the defensive plays he made... Like, over both games, you know, obviously we talked about the stands, but the Pujols double play in that moment, the stress of that, and the play made tonight on Arenado, like, that was, you know, maybe it was among, considering the moment, maybe the best defensive play he's ever made as a Philly.
Well, and the Yachty play.
The Yachty play, too. And, like,
that should have been a double down the line.
Dude, to think about, like, literally, ever since the I bleep and hate this place moment, like, if you just look at Alec Bohm, like, the trajectory of that guy, like, from that moment till now, like, I mean, think about it. I mean, he's turned into what we wanted him to be, you know? Obviously, we want more power, this and that, but, like, he's, like, a really good hitter who we trust in big spots and is, like, not just playing passable third base, he's playing, like, good third base. It's wild, Jack.
It is, but, again... I feel like I don't recognize this team. Like, they keep doing things that I'm so not used to seeing. Like, not crumbling in big moments, stepping up on the road, Alec Bohm making stud defensive plays. Do they need to come through and get a big hit every once in a while? Absolutely. Because, again, dude, they significantly outplayed the Cardinals this series. Like, significantly. They should have won. Game one, I think, should have been at least tied heading into the ninth. Game two, they should have won that game 5-0. You know, they should have dominated that game. And as we go along here, do they need to start coming through? Do their big guys need to show up? Does Nick Castellanos look like he wants to be here? Yes, oh my God, of course. Dude,
play Vierling. Just play. Like, not just obviously in the ninth, that was like, honestly, it's one of the worst decisions we've seen Topper make, not putting Vierling in there in the ninth. But outside of that, just play Vierling anyway. He's better. He's just a better, I trust him more as an all-around player. Especially in playoff baseball, like if we're going to be winning games 2-0, 2-1, 3-1, 3-2, like that's what the majority look. That Mariners game was wild, and you know, shout out to the M's for getting through too. Like 10-9, that was crazy. Or down 8-1, it was a wild game. But like that's the exception, not the rule. Like most of playoff baseball is these ones, the 2-0, the, you know, 2-0 game that turns into a bit of a blowout because they score 6 in the ninth, like that kind of stuff. But you know, like you're going to need to play this way to win these type of games, you know?
Yeah. And I got one message for Atlanta, James. Are you ready for it?
Never been more ready.
It's a different Phillies club than you've seen in years past. Like, this is a different Phillies team. They have confidence. They've been on the road to St. Louis to get the job done. Now it's time to go to Atlanta to get the job done. I mean, much like St. Louis, I feel like there's a lot of pressure on Atlanta. Obviously, them winning the World Series last year, you know, there's not as much pressure. But it has to be said that the team that we have seen the last two nights have been a different baseball team. And I feel like Atlanta's looking at this and saying, oh, thank God we got the Phils. And my message to Atlanta is, this isn't the same Phils. This is a different Phillies team. Wheeler, Nola doing that in St. Louis is massive. Now they feel like they can go into, you know, anywhere and win. It seems like Ranger's going to pitch game one, which is fine. Like,
honestly, it's better than if you'd had to have Ranger and you had to, like, go falter or whatever. Like, I think I'd rather have Ranger in one, you know? Like, that was the better outcome.
And he's been dominant his last two starts against the Braves, too. So.
And again, he's freaking cool as a cucumber. It seems in any situation, I'm super excited to see him, you know, how, like, it, maybe his heart will beat even slower in these situations. Yeah, you never know.
Then you have Wheels in game two. Yeah, and in the first home playoff game.
Oh, playoff. Since Nola at home, buddy.
Yeah, buddy. Oh, first home.
God, it's synchronicity. There has been a lot of, like, poetry with this stuff. You know, we talked about so much, like, clinching with the Nola and Eflin thing. You know, the poetry of Gene getting the winning hit in that spot last night. The poetry of Nola being the guy tonight to clinch it out and Harper getting the big home run. It really does feel like, you know, it feels special. Like, it really does so far. Like, a lot of this has felt, you know, really, like, you know, storybookish. And obviously, it's way early. And the Braves have been better than them. And the Braves should be the favorite. They freaking won the World Series last year. They have a bunch of dudes who know how to win these games and all that. But, like, you know, to the point you made before the playoffs started, I think it's even more true now, is, like, I wouldn't want to play the Phillies.
That's it.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they have something, like, kind of cooking. Like, they're kind of like last year. I knew the Braves were going to win the World Series last year. Like,
oh, yeah.
You could feel it. I bet on them. I was like, screw it. Like, I want to make some money. Like, they are way underrated. Like, this team has something. Like, they have something special. Jock Peterson with his dumbass pearls. Like, all that stuff. Like, it. Like, there was just, like, a vibe to that team. That quote where it was like, yeah, we're just those bleeping dudes or whatever. Like, they had, like, a swag and a vibe where it was like, all right, like, I don't think anyone's going to beat them. Like, the Phillies aren't there yet. They haven't, like, you know, gotten those moments and developed it quite there yet. But they definitely, like, I really like the vibe is what I'm saying, you know?
Well, and I think we talked about that yesterday. It's like, we remember sitting there. I knew exactly when the Nationals were going to win the World Series, and I knew exactly when the Braves were going to win the World Series. And it was stuff like what happened with the Phils out in St. Louis. I'm just telling you, that's what it was. And again, don't let the Phils take one in Atlanta. Don't let them do it. You bury them. If you're the Braves, you got to bury this team. You got to take two at home, and you got to bury them and make sure that crowd is dampened on Friday night. Because if not, you're going to have, like, just think about this, James. If you don't bury the Phils, if you don't bury them in games one and two, you are going to have a fan base that has waited 11 years for a home playoff game. Hold on. You're going to have the Phillies fan base that has waited 11 years for a home playoff game in combination with the first Eagles Cowboys game of the year.
Oh my God!
Like it's going to be this fan base is going to be like the like rabid on this weekend. And they're going to be on another level. And if they go out and they, you know, you split in Atlanta and you take game three on Friday, Saturday night in a possible closeout game, freaking closeout game with Fritz in attendance on Friday night. I mean, it's just, this is going to be the longest and best week of my, I really believe it's going to be the best week of my life.
I love it, buddy. So far, you know, I'm not gonna lie, this weekend has been up there with the best weekends of my life. Like, what up? And let me speak for Jack Fritz, for me too, but even more for Jack Fritz. Thank you, Phillies, for winning it in two, so Jack didn't have to be on the radio tomorrow and like suffering in desperate sadness, like trying to pay attention to a late night Phillies deciding playoff game while doing a like. I'm so happy for you, buddy. Like, I was like dreading that eventuality for you.
Dude, I would have been fired. Like, I'm just telling you, you wouldn't have heard me on the radio again. The amount of times I've been pacing around my apartment just saying, loser, loser. Like, it's just, I have not handled this playoff series well. Now, like, I've been keeping it together. But I'm just saying, like, if I had to do that on the radio tomorrow, like, would have been bye-bye, Jack. Like, no more Jack on WIP. 100%. Like, it would have been the career would have been gone because this series has taken, I legitimately think, a year off my life at least. And again, like, both nights I gave myself a headache, which is just insane. Like, I'm sitting there. I had to keep going.
It's like a child. You're like a child who gets so worked up that they, like, can't control themselves and they get so worked up that they get a headache or they get have throw up or whatever. That's, you're like a child in that way. Like, your love for the Phillies is literally childlike.
I think that comes through very apparently.
Yeah.
Without and the other thing that was happening was that, like, I mean, I had beers when we got home off the show.
Me too.
I know, I was feeling pretty good heading into first pitch. Dude, by the seventh inning, I felt nothing. Like, I was on pins and needles. Again, the Phillies are bus killers, man. Like,
that's
they
why
are
I'm drinking the Miller Lite. Obviously, like, shout out to Miller Lite. We love you. Presented by Miller Lite. I'm drinking as much just because I was, like, completely sobered up by the last few innings. I'm like, I need to drink something.
I know. But all well worth it, dude. This has been such a weird feeling, man. This has been such a weird, like,
we never thought it was going to happen.
Full disclosure, I never thought they'd win a playoff series again. Yeah. You know, I thought they'd make the playoffs again, but winning a playoff series, that was a big ask. And the fact that we're here and the fact that they played so well and there's a little Team of Destiny vibes with this team. You know, like, little Phil's Mariners World Series. I'm so happy. Like, I don't have any, like, I'm just so happy. And that's what baseball is, man. And this is why you and I do this. And why whatever, we get so frustrated when we hear, oh, baseball's so boring. Oh, baseball this, baseball that. Like, dude, if you thought these last two nights have been boring, like, you just hate sports. And you just don't appreciate good sports. Like, that is sport at its purest form. Clutch moments, drama. I mean, Michael Kay and A-Rod, I mean, they were trying so damn hard to will a Cardinals comeback. I mean, I thought I was listening to a home broadcast, but we survived. Like, they survived. And listen, are they piecemealing the bullpen together? Yeah. Is Zach Eflin the closer now? I guess so.
Clearly he is, yes.
It can't be overstated that Zach Eflin, who has never closed a game until Monday,
I know,
has pitched in back-to-back games on the road in a playoff series and, like, has thrown strikes. He doesn't have 99. He doesn't have classic closer stuff. But, man, he just throws strikes.
Well, Jack, real quick, I'll bet you I'm not, Elias Sportsbury or anything like that, but I'm going to say this as if it is a fact because I feel so confident it, like, has to be. Zach Eflin is the first player in Major League Baseball history to get his first two saves on a playoff clinching regular season win to get in the playoffs and then a playoff game saving a playoff clinching series win. He's absolutely the first player that's ever happened to. It has to be.
How's that for analytics?
Right?
I mean, that sounds like
right?
That sounds like a legitimate stat. We'll go with it. I just ran it by our sports bureau here, and they agreed with you, so that's a good sign.
And
listen, I don't know. Again, you know, I don't want to use numbers that are made up. But I mean, Zach Eflin's basically what John Smoltz was when he became a closer.
Dennis Eckersley in the late '80s, '90s.
Yep. Zach Eflin.
Same guy. I agree.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Guess who's picking up that $15 million option this offseason? This team. But yeah, dude, it's just like the stuff that has happened is insane. It's just insane, man. Like, what are we watching? What are we watching? Last night we watched Gene Segura have a massive hit. We watched Nolan Arenado make a massive misplay. We watched Paul Goldschmidt make a dumbass play to, like, throw home. We watched Aaron Nola go out and dominate on the road for a guy that no one thought could win a big game to go and do that. We saw Zach Eflin on bad knees going out and going shove city in the ninth. We see Jose Alvarado, who no one trusted 3 months ago. Now, like, everyone's like, he's our guy. Sir Anthony, no one trusted. Bang, back. Like, David Robertson, oh, he's going to walk the ballpark. 1-2-3 yesterday. Alec Boehm can't play defense. Like, outshines Nolan Arenado. James, what in the world are we watching right now?
Jack, I think the best way I can put it is the chances of that stuff happening were infinitesimal. That's really the best way I can put it.
Well, as someone that has known that word for a long time, I would agree that they were infinitesimal.
It is unbelievable. All right, Jack, last thing I have, and then if you have anything, throw it in. But we've spent this whole pod heaping praise on the Phillies and really, you know, bathing in our glory of finally getting to record this podcast that we dreamed of and thought would never happen. I gotta, like, you know, put a little dose of reality in here and rip us real quick, a quick mea culpa. And I want to rip myself, but, like, significantly more rip you. Because as people will hear, will know, yeah, I think if we're going to be honest, that you can't claim to be the one who's the authority in this. I'm not. I'm the one who gets ripped for it. But I did get to listen to Scott Fransky, and I chatted to my buddy for Tommy for having, you know, the syncing it up and all that. And we've always kind of deferred to Scott on such things. He was calling him Miles Michaelis all game. All game. And we've been calling him Miles Michaelis. And, you know, for me, that's just another pod. But for you, you know, I feel like you owe everyone an apology, Mr. You know, I get baseball players' names right guy, and I will rip James every single time he even comes close to messing one up. You know, what do you have to say? Miles Michaelis. Apparently that's his name, according to Scott Fransky.
Well, like I've always said, Fransky's wrong, per usual. I can't believe we...
angle I expected. I like this. This is good.
I can't believe we trust this guy with major broadcasts. Listen, it's been 11 years since he called a big game. Maybe he forgot that it's Miles Michaelis.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Maybe be a professional for me one time, Scott. You know, that's what I would say. Because it's definitely Miles Michaelis.
yes, that makes sense. That's
but
good.
But it could also definitely be Miles Michaelis. And I forget who called him Michaelis for the first time.
I've definitely always called him Michaelis. So I'm definitely wrong on this.
Oh, so it's your fault.
Yeah,
so it's your fault.
You did. You spun it around there. That's,
well, I always called him Michaelis until I met you.
Oh,
so.
Really? That sounds totally accurate. I love it.
Yeah, you thought you had me in a corner, buddy, didn't you? You thought you had me. And what did I do? Much like the Phils, I persevered, and I got through it, and here we are.
Hey, Jack, I got two words for you, buddy. Grow up. All right?
Buddy. Never. I know.
All right, you got anything else? What else you got?
Dude,
any, like,
I got
playoff
so much
take
else.
Bag stuff?
I got so much else, dude. Big game take bag. First off, this is now, what is this? We're approaching at least 3.5 hours of talking to each other today.
Oh, this is the most high hope. Yeah, today alone with the radio show, and this is the most high hopes we've ever done in a short period of time.
Yep.
It is also for, you know, anyone who, you know, I'm sure we have some new listeners for the run or whatever, but, like, the people who listen, like, it is 12:50 in the morning, and Jack can go as long as he wants. That's where I'm at. I'm so happy, baby.
Let's go. Let me tell you something.
No complaints, buddy.
I know it says 1250. It feels like 9. Like is this I couldn't be more on cloud 9. I can't wait to see the celebrations. Like, dude, they're going to celebrate in the clubhouse again tonight. Like, that's special, man. That is freaking special. Seeing them be able to pour champagne and chug beers and bond. Like, again, this is just the beginning. This is just the freaking beginning for this team. The window is just opening now. And this is special. This is great. I love every minute of it. But, like, get used to this. Like, get used to this. The fact that this team has gotten over the hump and won a playoff series on the road again in St. Louis. Get used to this. Winners, James. Winners. All right. Let me just run through my stream of consciousness. I'll just run through my stream of consciousness. Is that fair?
Do your thing, buddy. I'm laying back.
Nola out of the first inning was massive. Nootbaar leads off the game with a double. Bang, Nola out of it. Like, that's, again, the first time where I was like, might have something different here. Bryce with an absolute crowd silencer. You know, like, that was a crowd silencer, a big moment on the road where he went out and dominated. I don't remember what happened in this. Dude, I remember this is I am not lying to you. When I tell you I believe my brain short circuited, like I don't think I was lying. I forgot how they scored runs in the eighth inning. I was like, hold on, how did they get up 2-0 again? And I was like, all right, Bryce went yeah. And the second one was like a little Schwarber sack fly. But I do not remember how the Schwarber sack fly happened. I've got to be honest with you. Like, I was so locked in, I couldn't remember it.
Boom.
I don't know. Like, Nola's fifth, I had written down. Bryce's base running was infuriating.
Well, whatever it was, the fifth or sixth for Nola, the one where after that, like, total bad vibes inning where Harper had the, like, thrown out at second and then Bohm gets almost or does get picked off and, like it like should have been
first off on purpose.
Yeah, whatever, but he didn't get the run to score is the point. It should have been first and third, no outs, and all of a sudden they're out of the inning. Like, it felt like such a bad vibes inning, and for Nola to come out and like shove that next inning, I thought that was the most important half inning of his game.
And listen, I'm not one to tweet feels like a loss, but I really, there was about three different times where I was like, this feels like a loss, because it did. Like, it did. But yeah, like the base running mistakes, it's like, okay, here we go. Here's where they score. And the Bohm, it was interesting. Like, I didn't hate the idea of sending the base runner and seeing what would happen. If I was Bohm, I probably would have just taken second base because it seemed like they were giving it to you and let Marshy see what he can do. You know, if you get, like, I just think that Goldschmidt was running towards him and he seemed like he had an easy throw home. And I think if he throws the ball, I think the second baseman has an easy throw home too. Like, they didn't make him work. So, listen, chalk it up as a learning experience, whatever. But that is playoff baseball. We need to figure those things out.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
The bunt, like, listen, it happened. I understand why they did it. Didn't like it in that situation. And last thing was that that I had written down, because I don't remember the last two innings. Was Jose Alvarado had strike three and it should have been out of the inning.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Caught a ball.
Yeah. The umping has not been, this guy was better than last night, but the umping has not been high level. I'm just looking at my TV and I looked up to see the Bryce tank shot again. Like, such a good way to put it. I love that you called it a crowd silencer. That really what it was. Like, that was like a take the crowd out of the game. And honestly, I really think the Cardinals got taken out of the game after the ninth inning last night. Like, the whole game, their body language was bad. It felt like they were out of it. Honestly, I think Nolan Arenado, ever since that the win stopped his homer, it felt like he was totally checked out of the series. Like, totally, like, complaining, making mistakes, this and that. Like, it just, you know, to the whole point you keep saying, like, you know, really, they exercised the demons from 2011, and it just really felt like such an un-Phillies-like series. You know, they were the team that executed better, that played better defense, that pitched better, that came through in the big moments. It was like, you know, all the stuff they haven't done for 11 years, Jack. Like, know. Literally, for I 11 know. Years, they haven't done, like, this stuff.
Dude, our listeners, the day one iOS people, like, the Phils have not played that style of baseball. And Is it refreshing to see they can? Yeah. And is that something that I think they're only going to build on? Yeah, I do. But it's just like I have never felt less intimidated by a 93-win baseball team than I did with this Cardinals team. Like, Goldschmidt's great, whatever. He's also been terrible for a month. Arenado has been terrible for a month. Like, dude, miss me with the whole Pujols nonsense and the Yachty nonsense. Like, the player I was most afraid of was, like, Lars Nootbaar by the end. It's like I'm supposed to take this team seriously.
German handball superstar Lars Nootbaar.
Yeah, and like Juan Yepes. Like that ends, man. That ends this week because it dude, a Phils the Phils beating the Braves would obviously mean way more to me than the Eagles beating the Cowboys, but like this is my Eagles Cowboys. Like being able to knock the freaking Braves out of the playoffs would mean so much to me. And are they winners? And does it make me nervous? Yeah. But at the same time, James, and maybe this is a, you can tell me right now, straight to my face through Skype, if this is a loser mentality, but it's house money at this point.
Oh, no, it totally is. It was house money for this round. Like, again, this was a team that everyone counted out. It's a team that almost collapsed, almost blew it, had 11 years since making the playoffs. Like, honestly, like, you know, it means so much more because they won it. But if, you know, and we didn't think they were going to do it, but if they had lost two in a row after winning that first game, I would still look back at that game one and such with such fond memories. Ultimately, like in the moment, it would hurt. We'd be bummed and stuff. But when I look back at that Gene hit that game, the feeling I had watching the Phillies in the playoffs again for the first time in 11 years, for me, like, I would look back on it fondly, even though we lost the series. And now I can look back on it like so much more fondly and meaningfully. And hopefully it becomes that much more meaningful, you know, down the road if things happen. But like, the point is that like, even though they won, like if they hadn't, I still feel like this was such a, like, you know, it sounds sad, but like a beautiful experience for me. Like as like some, I'm serious, man. Like I'm serious. Like we love this team, and it's been so long since we saw this, man. And, like, it felt so special to watch it again. And for them to win the game the way they did, it was just, like, it was like a beautiful day. Like, it was a beautiful moment. It was something I'll never forget. And, like, thank God they won tonight because it's that much cooler. But, like, to your point about house money, I think it's totally true. Like, I want them to win more and stuff, but I'm just so grateful we got this, you know?
And grateful is a great word, and I want to get this podcast up for our audience as quickly as possible. Just to
oh, it's so unlike you to not just, you know, keep going for
I'm gonna you know, not be a me guy in this situation and make sure that our audience can get this as fast as possible. But I guess my final message here to you and to everyone out there, the high hosts, you know, that have been here since day one, is that, like, man, James and I love you guys so much. Like, celebrate this. Celebrate what just happened. And celebrate winning a game and winning a series on the road in what people are calling baseball heaven. Like, celebrate Michael Kay and A-Rod openly rooting and begging for a Cardinals comeback. And honestly, seeming unprepared for a Phillies team coming in and winning a series. And, you know, think about our guys and think about the players that we have argued over that we have thought maybe they're not winners. Like, they just, like, did some players step up? Did some players not? Yeah. But as a team, they just went on the road and they won a playoff series against a team that won 93 games. Zach Wheeler was unbelievable. Aaron Nola was unbelievable. Like, that gives you a chance in every single series. And that is, like, we're going to look back on this Cardinal series as, like, special. It's just a special, special moment to be a Phillies fan. Because for 11 years and 10 seasons, we haven't felt this. And is it intense? Yeah. Do I feel like I'm just catching my breath? Yeah, because that's what playoff baseball does to us. And that's what makes it such a special sport, and that's what makes it 162 games, you know, year after year, worth it, is for a playoff series like that. And I am no longer doubting the Phils. Like I said it earlier, but don't let them win a game in Atlanta, because you're coming into a frenzy on Friday and Saturday that, like, frankly, I cannot freaking wait for. I cannot wait for it. So enjoy this. Have a great night. Have a great morning. If you're waking up this, if you're sitting there and there is coffee roasting in the pot, pour yourself a big old cup of coffee. Enjoy this podcast. Enjoy everything. Call your loved ones, because the Phils won a playoff series. For a team that hasn't done this in a while, this is going to sound like a World Series podcast, and I don't care, James. Like, I could not care less, because we deserve this. You deserve this. Everyone deserves this, because it's been a hellish, hellish 10 seasons, and we've made it back. I couldn't be happier. We are back in postseason baseball. We have felt what postseason Phillies big games have felt like. They're only going to get better from this, and I can't wait for Tuesday, dude. I cannot wait for Tuesday. I can't wait to see if we continue to see a different baseball team down in Atlanta. What a moment. What a time. I love you. I love our listeners. I love everyone. I love the Phillies. What a moment. What a day. What a night. Shout out to Knowles. Shout out to everyone. Couldn't be happier. Go Phils, man. Go freaking Phils.
Love it. Honestly, like, nothing else to say. You deserve this. It's a perfect thing to say. Like, this pod has always been billed as the podcast for the diseased Phillies fan, and there is no one who deserves this more. There's no one who appreciates it more. And to Jack's point, it's a beautiful thing that we get more of it, and we can't wait to talk to you through it. So guess what? More pods coming. More playoff baseball pods coming. Oh my God, it's so awesome. I love you, buddy. I love everyone. I can't wait to talk to you next week about the Phillies and the Braves playing in the NLDS. This is the coolest thing ever. I'm the happiest person in the world, other than Jack Fritz, who is actually the single happiest person in the world. Go Phils. He's Fritz himself.